Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condo with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How's it going, Mr. Ben Errington? Are you okay?
It's going well. It's going good. How are you going?
Not too bad. So we better just do, let people know we weren't here for a couple of weeks because 1 week I was in surgery and the other week Ben wasn't feeling too hot. But he's cooled down finally.
I finally cooled down. I finally reached normal temperature.
Is it room temperature now?
I'm finally at room temperature. So Luke had his surgery and then I was like, oh, he's gonna get all the attention next week when he says he had surgery. I'll go, well, I've been unwell as well, right?
Ben did his own surgery.
I did my own surgery on myself, yeah. Cut a mole off. A dodgy looking mole. What surgery did you have, Luke? I mean, I know, but you know.
I had a bilateral hernia laparoscopy. Something like that. Yeah.
And you've got a whoopee cushion in your body now?
I have, yeah. It's a horror movie in itself. I've got like a space inside my stomach, a cavern, if you will, full of juices. Like, ooh. It feels like the blob is in there.
Oh, could you siphon out some juices if you wanted to?
I don't know. Can't ask if you like put a pin in me, would it sort of like shoot
it
out?
Would it spray out?
Or like would it be like when you pop a balloon? You know, you get those chocolate egg things that people make, and then they pop the balloon inside.
Yeah.
And you just go, and then sort of pull it.
Can you do the noise again, please?
Would it be like that?
I'd prefer if it was like that, even though it probably would end up in your pain.
I'd pass it and suffering.
You pass what? Right.
Oh, I thought you meant like if there was a bit of like rubber balloon inside me still. Yeah. I'd pass it. I'd pass it as refuge.
Something wrong with you? Yeah. Quite literally. But you're on the mend.
Yeah.
You're feeling good. You're back to your best. You've been up vertical now for a while, haven't you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
I don't like it. I want to get back horizontal as soon as possible.
Well, you can in a few hours. You'll be all right. Don't worry. Calm down. You can go to bed soon.
So we're back on the list today. But before we get on the list, let's get under the list. Oh. And what was that thing you were telling us today the other day with the finger, the thumb? We were the level.
So it's a horizontal thumb gesture made famous by Cesaro and Sheamus from the WWE, and it's we don't just set the bar,
right,
we are the bar.
Okay, so this is the bar, and before we get to the bar, we need to swing around and over and under it and talk about the other horror guff.
Like gymnasts.
Have you done any other horrors recently, other than your own surgery on yourself?
No, let's not talk about that. I haven't really, do you know what? I haven't, and I'm sorry to let you down, but the last film I watched was Avengers Infinity War, and then I didn't watch any films for like a whole week. I don't know if it was just because I was taking it in and getting over the experience. Obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody listening for Avengers Infinity War. But yeah, so I haven't been able to focus myself and watch any other film. Like, life has changed for me. Nothing feels real. I can't trust anybody. I don't want to start watching a film, you know.
Yeah, you want to check in people's hands for gauntlets and...
Yeah, exactly. I'm like that. Postman came to the door. I just went, "What do you want, mate?" And he just went, "Oh, I just want to." And he clicked his fingers, and I leapt at him.
Yeah, where we sit, we talk. Saw someone like jazzing away to some song the other day.
Like, yeah, we're like, "What are you doing?" Okay, this is almost getting to spoiler territory. Even a hand gesture. But to be fair, if you haven't seen Avengers: Infinity War by now and you want to see it, what on earth are you doing?
Yeah,
for God's sake!
I've been similar to you. I've not watched. I was looking for my list. I was like, I've not actually seen any horror movies in ages. Like, Avengers: Infinity War was a horror movie for me. Like, I was super scared at that film, and it delivered.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's nice to, because we sort of base our week around watching a horror movie and reviewing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I often feel a bit funny about going back into a horror film, especially one that like we could possibly do on the list in the future.
Oh, like so you're gonna waste it.
Yeah, like, I feel like I don't want to waste it, like just by watching it. I mean, obviously, I said I watched the Dawn of the Dead remake recently, and then after watching that, I was thinking, oh, that probably would have made a good episode to discuss.
Loads of that would have been good. I'd like to do that one.
Yeah, we can do that one maybe in 10 years.
Too late now, you watched it.
I watched it now, and I'm not watching it again, all right?
The only thing that's kind of like horror adjacent I watched was Sorcerer, which is William Friedkin's film that he did after The Exorcist. And the only reason I think they're kind of related, it's not a horror movie at all. Well, in some ways, I suppose it is. But it's got some of the similar... you know the statue, the Pazuzu statue in The Exorcist? It's got that statue in this film and some of the similar sort of vibes at the start. And I was like, oh, it's kind of like he's trying to create his own cinematic universe back in the 70s.
William Friedkin-verse.
Yeah, but the Freak-verse. But it would make a really great double bill if you were going to watch The Exorcist, and then this, sort of the pacing might be a bit, you know, might kill
can
you.
Ask you a can I ask you a question about it? So I'd never even heard of it before, which is a bit crazy. We're not sponsored by Letterboxd, but I'm just going to say, I'm looking at your Letterboxd thing. You gave it 5 stars.
Oh, mate, it's good. Yeah, I prefer it to The Exorcist. I don't know, it's also, funny enough, it's Stephen King's favourite movie ever as well. It's,
I mean, I'm going to have to watch this now, aren't I?
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to.
So did I tell you about it the other day when we saw each other?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
I filed it away in the recesses of my mind, thinking I'll watch that.
So just for the listeners, then. So it's four kind of criminal type people, or people who are sort of not nice people. They've done wrong in their home countries and have had to go and stay in this place in South America where wrong-uns go, and it's like there's nothing to do, you just got to work and you can't make any money, and it's like being in purgatory. It's horrible. And then you get the opportunity, there's an oil well fire, and it's just this horrible volcano of fire that won't ever stop until they use TNT to they need TNT to blow it to close the hole and put the fire out. But the TNT is 200 miles away and it's gone off, in the sense of when TNT goes off, if you move it slightly or something, it blows up, like, just instantly. So then they need to get these two rickety old trucks across 200 miles of jungle to this oil well fire to put it out. It sounds super, like, dry, but it gets in so tense. They're going across these, like, wooden bridges in these trucks, and it's, like, pissing it down with rain, and you're thinking the TNT could go off at any moment. And it's, it's just really cool. It's like the best episode of Top Gear, but like people died it. You know, when they do those challenges and no one's like joking. No one's like making light of it there.
That's how I'd like that. I'd like an episode of Top Gear like that, where one or all of them die.
One or all of them die, yeah.
Yeah. that's a bit insensitive. Sorry, guys, if you're listening, not listening.
Yeah, but that was a 5-star film for me. I thought it was really good.
I'm gonna add it to the list. Of my May watch list, and by May watch list I mean watch list for May, not I may watch it.
May watch it, I may not. Yeah,
I probably will watch it. I probably maybe
is that a separate list? Probably maybe will list.
Probably, maybe, will, might, I don't know.
I've been finding that really helpful, by the way, on Letterboxd, making a little list of stuff you kind of plan to watch in that month.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of, sometimes, like, when you don't have a plan, you just end up watching Great British Bake Off over and over again.
Yeah.
But if you have a plan, you go, like, no, I'll crack out Mad Max 2.
Also, Letterboxd allows you to, like, it obviously make a list of what to watch, and then when you've watched it, it tells you what percentage of the films you've seen. And
yeah.
If you hit 100%, that's a good feeling.
You get an achievement.
It's like an achievement unlocked.
Yeah.
So what's your username? Lukov Condor on Letterboxd.
Yeah. What's yours? And I'm
Ben_Errington. So if anyone wants to follow us and keep tabs, I'm trying to write a review for every film I watch this year. The review can be a line or like three words. That's what I'm counting as a review at the moment. Okay. I'll do longer ones.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I do it if I'm compelled to, but I won't bother normally. Unless I can say it's like an episode of Top Gear in some way or another, then I won't.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should add that to your Sorcerer review.
I think I did. And I also used Top Gear in my review for Duel, which is the
Steven
Spielberg film. Yeah.
Are you going to... any comparisons to Top Gear on today's film?
Maybe. Well, the Power Man has a certain Jeremy Clarkson stature.
Saggy belly.
Yeah. Okay, so today we're talking about number 9 on the list. We're getting there. Slowly but surely we're getting there. Pan's Labyrinth. Have you got the deets on Labyrinth?
I've got the deets on the Pan's Labyrinth, mate. So Pan's Labyrinth is a 2006 dark fantasy drama film written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. The film is in the phalangist Spain of... Am I saying that word right? Phalangist Spain of 1944... The bookish young stepdaughter of a sadistic army officer escapes into an eerie but captivating fantasy world. That's a really weird synopsis that someone's written on IMDb. I think phalangist is like some sort of fascist regime, as far as I can tell.
Is it Francoist? Is that? I'm not too. I don't know the history of this, but I know it's like a Franco.
Yeah, there's something called phalangism, which is like a Spanish.
Sounds
considered radical. And fascist,
yeah,
and conservative ideology,
authoritarianist,
authoritarianist.
Okay, this is what the Empire Film students have to say. Still Guillermo del Toro's deepest and most personal work, his feminine companion piece to The Devil's Backbone, which we reviewed earlier on episode 1. I think, is a fairy tale that doesn't stint on the grim, and they're putting in brackets an extra M for grim, as in Grimm's fairy tale. Set in early Francoist Spain in 1944, it's as much about the after effects of the Spanish Civil War and the continuing nightmare of World War II as it is about a heroine's heroic underworld questing. And crucially, most of the real horror is above ground, but there are nightmarish encounters with a giant toad and an eyeless pale man, Jeremy Clarkson, to make the point that Ophelia's escape into fantasy is anything but safe. The ingratiating Twitchy Fawn, too, is clearly not her friend. Yeah.
So I'd say
I think it comes across quite friendly. Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
If the pale man's Jeremy Clarkson,
yeah.
The fawn is Hamster. What's his name?
No, I think the toad is Hamster. Wait.
Okay, the toad is Hamster.
Yeah.
The toad is James May.
The toad is James May.
I don't know. You decide.
No, the toad is Hamster, and then the fawn is James May.
Okay. What's Hamster's real name?
Stig. Richard Gere.
Richard Gere. How have I forgotten this? He's the one who's always like nearly crashing. Dying by like crashing into a wall. Shit. His name's Richard Hammond. Oh, come on. Hammond.
That means Richard Gere should be a Top Gear presenter.
Yeah.
Dick Gere. Yeah.
Top Gear. I want to change the name of the show. It's still called Top Gear, but I want to change the spelling of the second word.
Yeah.
Really? Yes. Yeah. They should have done that because they're struggling at the moment. They got like Matt LeBlanc presenting, didn't they?
He was all right. I watched an episode of him, and he was quite charming as he always is. But Chris Evans. At the time,
Crevins.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. Okay, this film has got 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8 out of 10 on IMDb. And I've seen it many times. It was at one point in time one of my top 10 films of all time, but I think it's not anymore. I can still watch it and love it, and I do love it as a film. But at one point, it was like, you know, right up there next to RoboCop. But it's not anymore.
Rubbing shoulders with RoboCop, and now you've relegated it.
It's RoboCop's pushed it away. So it slid down, and I don't know. I mean, is this one of your favorites? Is this a good one for you? Good experience? Bad memories?
Yeah, it's a good experience. Good memories. I've always enjoyed it. Seen it just a handful of times. Something I consider, not something I feel like I need to return to over and over and over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good film. I wouldn't consider it up there with some of my favorites, but I mean, it's got a lot of that classic Del Toro vibe that kind of spills over into all of his stuff, even like the more mainstream American films he makes, not Pacific Rim as such. But I like it. I recognize a lot of the Shape of Water sort of vibe as well in this film.
So I've not seen Shape of Water, I've not seen Kronos, but barring them, this is my favorite Del Toro film.
Just that sort of dark, otherworldly, you know, it's just something very captivating about the world that he creates and everybody within it. Something quite what word am I thinking of? I'm gonna say nice. That's the worst description of anything ever. Something wholesome. That's what I meant. That's what it's going for. Something wholesome about the world he creates and the characters within it. Something that, like, even though there's really dark characters and there's evil and there's violence, you kind of still can gravitate towards the nice. Oh, I've said nice again. The wholesome, wholesome parts of the story.
Nice.
And it does feel like classic fairy tale.
Wholesome. Well, yeah. So in the Empire film scene thing, they say grim as in grim fairy tales, and they're completely right. Like, it has that sort of magical sense of wonder you have as a kid, and it's still absolutely sort of brutal. Like, there's one scene in this, and most of the brutal stuff isn't the fantasy stuff, although that has sort of brutal stuff as well. Like, it's always like the real world stuff that has like the most like villainous sort of characters and some really horrific elements. The first time I watched this, I remember like having to look away when you did to your mate that time. You Pan's Labyrinth that guy.
When someone gets Pan's Labyrinthed in this film, I mean, it is pretty brutal. You're like, ooh, that's got to hurt.
Oh yeah, we'll get into it, I think, soon. But oh my god, you can see it cave all the way in. It's like anyway, we'll talk about it. Okay,
so even though this is a 12-year-old film, there will be spoilers throughout. Pan's Labyrinth.
So I was going to say, I was watching this and I was like, oh, this would make a really good double feature with Let the Right One In, because it's sort of like it's about children, but there's sort of like the violent world around them and they're sort of trying to escape something.
Any excuse to just watch that film again, literally. You're like, this would make a perfect double bill with Cat People. I mean, just because Cat People is great.
Yeah. Cat People would make a good double bill with Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
Okay. So this film, key players, Ivana Baquero as Ophelia. She's a young girl who is amidst this crazy adult world of like politics and war and stuff, and she delves further and further into this fantasy world that I think we're supposed to think it may or may not exist. She's also Princess Moana, but again, we don't know if that's true or not. Sergi Lopez plays Vidal, Captain Vidal. He's the bad guy of the film. He's captain of this conservatives. What did you say? Flag? What was that word you said earlier?
I can't remember.
Flagalist.
He's captain of the baddies.
Captain of the baddies.
Phalangism.
Of the Mysterions. He's Mysterions, the captain of them. Yeah. And,
so basically you've got like the Republican rebels. So let's think of the Republican rebels are the rebels in Star Wars. And the Phalangisms, or whatever
they
are.
Wouldn't they be Republican? And the other ones are Democrats. I think so.
Well, let's kill that. Let's kill that that metaphor dead right now.
Okay.
If we're not gonna
goodies and baddies. Let's just keep it goodies and baddies. It makes it simple.
Yeah.
So Sergio Lopez, Captain Vidal, is the captain of the baddies, and he is sort of they're in this house, this sort of old house somewhere in the middle of these mountains, and he's lord of the house as well. That's where they're stationed. Everyone's looking up to him. Everyone's there working for him. He is the big bad boss. We've also got Maribel Verdú as Mercedes. She is the lady. What's the best word to describe her? Top
house lady.
Captain housekeeper.
Captain? Why has everyone got to be a captain? Well, if you're the captain of this group, then you've got to be the captain of the housekeeper. It's very nice for you.
Yeah. But she is in charge of cooking and cleaning and not burning the coffee and looking after a food and all that kind of thing. And then lastly, I just want to mention Doug Jones. Who
sexist? No, go wrong.
Doug Jones is the guy who plays... the fish man in Shape of Water. He's done loads of things, but in this film, he plays two characters. He plays El Fauno, who's Pan, and the Pale Man, who's Jeremy. And
the Pale Man just looks like a man. So obviously, it's been quite a hot bank holiday in the UK. And yeah. The Pale Man is essentially the man who never takes his T-shirt off for the rest of the year, except on like really hot days. And gets out his little saggy belly or a Darby Kelly,
his testicle skin,
yeah. And he just don't care. He walks around with his top off. He goes in the off license with his top off. Buys a 6-pack of Stella. Yeah. Walks down the park.
Sits in his garden.
He don't care. Yeah. He's like late 50s. He's letting it all hang out. Basically, that's the thing, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. There's other characters as well, but we'll get into them when we meet them. There, you pretty much see four main ones, really. So how does it start? It starts with the music, this theme music that goes all the way through. It's like a really lovely fairy tale music. I was singing it a lot after I watched the film, until Kat told me to shut the fuck up, because I wouldn't start singing this song.
Luke, it's 4 a.m. Can you please shut the fuck up?
Actually, she's more sus about it, because she said, you know, I'm not a fan of that song. And this was like hours later after I was singing it over and over again.
You know what? Your voice is really starting to grate on me. And you were whispering it into her ear in the middle of the night. Was you trying to sleep? How's it go? Yeah.
I don't remember. As soon as Kat said that, I was like, I forgot it.
I don't know.
It was nice, though. It was very nice. So it starts with this like sort of deep narrator's Spanish man's voice. So subtitles, guys. Yeah. Hello, I'm a Spanish man, and this is how the story starts. And it's
same
like, it's, yeah, he's talking about, it's very like fairy tale-y. He's talking about Princess Moana was the princess of the underworld. What's it called? Underworld.
She was the princess of France. Yeah, sorry.
Princess Moana is the princess of the underworld, but she became human and she forgets she's the princess. I mean, that's the general
idea. She went out on a heavy night out, nailed about 12 shots of Sambuca, ended up on planet Earth, and the sunlight apparently blinded her, erased her memory, and then she became mortal and died. What way to go?
So she's dead? Or is this like a rebirth of her?
Yeah, she's dead, because it's supposed to be some sort of reincarnation, Ophelia is.
Mm.
So the king apparently believes that eventually her spirit will return to the underworld. So he's built some labyrinths all around, which apparently act as portals around the world in preparation for her to return.
Yeah, I see. So then as the music, something like that, as that's playing through the fairy tale narration, we cut to Ophelia and her mum. They're being driven through these roads. They have to stop because one of them needs a wee or something. And Ophelia's outside and she notices this little CGI insect. It's like, that's interesting. I was going to say about this. When I first watched this, the CGI held up, but it is starting to show its age a little bit
now. When she's looking at stuff, it doesn't look like she's actually looking at it. Like that, especially the thing. Yeah. I mean, it looks all right. But, you know, I guess it's just of its time, isn't it?
So she sees this bug and she thinks it's a fairy, and it's obviously like you've never seen bugs before. It's a bug.
Are you a fairy or something? What are you?
Gnat.
Just a bug. Just a stick insect. Are you my new dad?
Yeah. okay. Then she follows a fairy and is like a labyrinth in sort of. No, that's not yet, is it?
That's not yet. No. Okay. So then they travel. Then they travel a bit further with her and her mum, and then they meet Captain Vidal, who's the big bad, and he's her new stepfather. I was interested in this because Ophelia's mum, Carmen, seems like a lovely lady. She seems like she's got a lot going for her. She seems like a kind, considerate young lady. And then Captain Vidal is just a big, hairy bastard.
Yeah.
How do they meet?
Well, they say later on, don't they? He calls her silly for talking out about
the story.
It.
Yeah. You don't give a flying flip about her, and she's all nice and lovely. I think, why have they stayed together for so long?
He is a bastard.
He is a bastard, and he's done a pregnant on her.
Yeah, all up her. Done a pregnant in her. And but like anyway, when she gets out of the car, he greets her by rubbing her belly. That's how I would like to be greeted normally. Yeah, because I had this surgery, and then I met you on the weekend. Why didn't you give me a nice belly stroke? Because
I would have felt the horrible empty Hessian sack in your body.
That weird bubbling noises.
I'd like that if I just had a big dinner. Like, oh, I just had a big dinner, and someone I'd have a massive cottage pie, and someone just walks up to you and rubs your belly to say good morning. I'd like that.
Hey, would you? Or, burp?
I don't know. I don't know. Cottage pie first thing in the morning. Would I burp? They go, that's it. That's a good boy.
Yeah. She also, as the mum's like, right, we stopping in a house, yeah. I'll walk over there, and then he goes, no, I've got the wheelchair, and she goes, no, it's fine, I can walk, and he says. The doctor says you shouldn't be walking because he wants the baby more than he wants the wife. We get that impression. Yeah. She loves the baby factory.
She's just a baby factory for him to shoot his...
Biz was.
Biz was in the dewlap.
Did your mum and dad give you the Biz was in the dewlap talk when you were coming
up? Yeah, they did. And I said, what the fuck are you two talking about?
The birds and the Biz was.
The birds and the Biz was. What are you going to Biz? Have you ever seen a wasp pollinate? No.
Okay. So whilst she's been sellotaped into a wheelchair and they're going to wheel her back into the house, Ophelia like notices that same gnat, the giant gnat from earlier. She's like, oh, there's that fairy. And she follows it into the... I don't think she meets the fawn yet, does she? No, she's going towards the labyrinth.
Follows it into the labyrinth and then... Mm. Mercedes Benz turns up, the housekeeper.
That's it, pulling up.
Absolutely flattens her with her how many horsepower engine.
This is a 3.0. That's the Jeremy Clarkson voice.
Jeremy Clarkson.
Flattens Ophelia.
This is the first Jeremy Clarkson. Now let's do Ophelia in a reasonably priced car lap.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens now? So you're like, Ophelia, come on inside. Mercedes like, Ophelia, come on inside. There's labyrinths and stuff out here. Come on. And then they go inside.
David Bowie is out here somewhere roaming around in the woods. It's a crystal. Nothing.
A wuzza.
That's okay. Magic.
That's a good song. I'm just working out what happens now. So...
Yeah, so they go. She basically goes indoors. Mercedes takes it and shows her bedroom. And then, like later on, Ophelia sees the insect again. Turns up, doesn't it?
Is this before or after Captain Vidal? Pan's Labyrinth's that guy.
I think this might be before.
Okay,
maybe
all
not.
Right.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So it's just before this happens. So she shows it a book. Says, hello, little insect. Have a look at this book. Yeah. You look like just like this fairy. And shows her a picture of a fairy. And somehow the insect just becomes like a transformer. And turns into a fairy. Quite a creepy looking little fairy. I've always been kind of creeped out by fairies. I don't know why. They always seem so bad-tempered and horrible. Like, Tinkerbell, she's a right bad-tempered little bitch. Do you remember the fairy in the Ridley Scott film Legend?
I haven't seen Legend since I was
You got to go back and watch
this.
It's absolutely amazing. It's like...
The devil itself, the image of it used to really
Legend
scare me.
Legend is the perfect dark fairy tale, if that's what we're discussing. Okay. There's like a fairy in that, which is like proper bad-tempered and like proper angry. And they always kind of freak me out. I thought,
stereotyping bloody fairies is the fourth thing.
Stereotypical
triggered.
Fairy.
Triggered!
Well, you're not timing them up for something fairy, for God's sake!
Yeah. They should give them more cast roles.
Yeah.
Rather than
what is Tinkerbell's
fairy.
Problem? What is Tinkerbell's problem?
Tiny.
She's a jealous little so-and-so. Needs a wee. So yeah, so the insect transforms into a fairy, and then basically takes her down into the labyrinth.
That sounds very dark.
Into the labyrinth of Pan.
Yeah, and so this is when she walks down into the bottom, right? And then it looks like a tree, and then it suddenly moves. It's like creaking and clacking and walking towards her. It's the best fawn creature design I think I've ever seen, because it's not like a normal half goat, half man. It's like a tree that's come alive, sort of thing. And it's got the ears, like the goat ears and stuff, that are always moving. However, they did that with the ears and the
face is a bit like twitchy nose and little funny eyeballs.
It's pretty incredible.
It's good.
And what the fawn's like, hello, I'm Pan. I'm the narrator from the start of the film.
I am the narrator from the start. I am French for some reason in this Spanish film.
I imagine he's got maracas most of the time. He kind of has that feeling. Trying to take it there.
Olé! Olé!
So what does he say? You are Princess Moana. You've got the birthmark, so it's got to be you. Is that right? Okay. And it says, answer me these questions free. Question the first, are you Ophelia? No, it says, I've got three tasks for you. And you've got these three tasks will...
I've got three tasks for you this week on The Apprentice. Some sort of fawn man gives Princess Ophelia free tasks to do. Basically, what you've got to do, right, is you've got to go to the East End. And you've got to put me up a lovely sheepskin rug, and you've got to spend no more than 12 quid on it, all right? Don't mug me off, right, mate?
Yeah. It's like when I go home to see my mum and dad, and they're like, Luke, the printer's on the fritz, iPad's coming off the Wi-Fi. And then once I've done all that, they'll know that my soul's intact and I've not become a mortal.
Yeah. can you just bleed the radiator as well, please, while you're here? And can you just do this as well?
Yeah. You rip my belly. okay, so the pan's like, look, you've got these three tasks. I'm not gonna tell you them now. I don't want to overload you. You've only just arrived. Get comfy, and then the book. It's all in this book. You know, sort yourself out, love.
Yeah.
And then she goes backwards to bed. At the same time, some people have been caught near to the house, and the little army men, the bad guy army men, are like, Captain Vidal, come and check out these people. They say they've been hunting rabbits, but we can't see any rabbits, or they don't look like they are. And Captain Vidal pops out and he starts asking them questions, and it's an old man and his son. And the son is basically protecting his dad by saying, stop questioning him so harsh, stop, you know, leave him alone, he's just an old man, sort of thing. And Captain Vidal, within seconds, takes this beer bottle and like smushes this guy's nose into his face, like
so he uses the bottom of the bottle as a hard weapon to just smash this guy's face to creamy mush.
Well, it's like just like one or two I would be like, all right, that's, you know, he's getting some, whoa, it's still going, and it's just sort of like as if he's got a bottle of champagne and he's trying to open it.
yeah. did you know you can open a bottle of wine with a shoe? Did you know that?
Kat used to do it with a sword or something, like
a sword?
Champagne bowls,
who is she? Sinbad.
It's like a thing you do, or like a knife.
Oh, no. Now you've done the movement. I know what you mean. Is that like, you love that noise. Yeah, so opening a bottle of wine with a shoe, like obviously it's a corked bottle of wine, with a cork in, not corked, but you kind of put the wine in the shoe, so the base of the bottle of the wine in the shoe. and then you just smash the shoe. I just hit myself in the ear. You smash the shoe against a wall or like any other hard surface,
doesn't and the cork, like
the cork like slowly just comes out.
But isn't the wine going to like dribble out if you're smashing the?
No, it doesn't dribble out. Okay. I've seen it done. I've seen it done on a video.
Did you ever do that thing with a beer bottle when you open it with your teeth?
Yes, I did.
I did it like twice, and I'm never doing that again because my tooth was like loose afterwards.
I've got a chip in my front tooth.
I have as well. Yeah.
From a beer bottle.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
That wasn't what I was doing. No, if I open a beer bottle with my teeth, I do it with like my back teeth.
Oh, yeah. You were doing that thing. You mean that thing where you go to put it in your mouth, and you miss you over. You don't realize how far away your mouth is. Also,
no, that's not how I did it. That's kind of how I did it. I was going to drink out like that, and my friend next to me was telling a story. Yeah. Was telling a story with his hands. He was like going, "Yeah, and then this happened, man, and then that happened," and he just like smashed it into my face. And I just remember going, "A little bit, of my tooth has actually come away." And he was like, "Get over it, man."
All right. What did he get over it? Like, is he not going to pay for your crown?
He's probably like, "Come on, mate, that didn't happen, did it?"
Was his name Captain Vidal?
His name was Captain Vidal, and then I said, "Look, I've just been hunting rabbits," and he smashed my face in with a bottle. Then he would get a chance to explain.
Yeah. So this guy dies basically, and the old man's crying at the death of his son. And he's like, "Look at his face, all messed up. I'm gonna leave him here." But then Captain Vidal goes through the bag and he goes, "Rabbits. I found two rabbits. Oh well." And then he takes him inside and he gets Mercedes to cook him up. Cook the rabbits up for a nice stew or something.
Well, he does kill the dad as well, and he shoots him. This was weird because he went to shoot him, but then one of Vidal's soldiers was stood behind him, and he quickly moved out of the way.
Hmm.
So the bullet didn't pass for him as well. But it's like Captain Vidal don't give a flying flip.
He clearly
just don't care if he shoots his own men.
Yeah. Well, it's all a game. But he's got this weird ego superiority complex thing going on. And I don't think he sees life as precious in any way. Okay, so what happens next? So he goes to bed. Ophelia is sleeping in bed with her mum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. Maybe she looks into the morning after her mum's made her a dress or something. She's bought her a dress. Is this about here?
Yeah. She bought her a lovely dress and she's like, "Looks lovely. Where'd you get this from?" She's like, "Primark."
Primarni.
On sale. So it looks be careful of it.
Yeah. And then
Ophelia has to go and do the first task.
Yeah.
First task. And she wears her dress because it's a special occasion, obviously.
So the first task is there's an old tree. You know which one it is because it's a creepy old oak tree. You go inside it and there's a toad in there. And then you need to get... feed it this thing, right? This seed or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a stone or something.
Yeah. And then you get a key out of his belly.
Yeah. So she goes in the tree, she just crawls right into it.
This reminds me, this is like a bit out of like a Zelda game or something.
Yeah. The toad especially looks very...
The belly of the toad.
The toad looks like it's a character from Zelda. So the chronic, she's crawling through, she's getting mud everywhere. Like, the dress is fucked within seconds. Oh no, she leaves the dress outside, but the underdress is fucked in seconds. And the outside dress is fucked too. But she crawls through, she sees the toad. So at this point, do you feel like this is all in her head and it's just a sort of fantasy escapist thing happening? Or are you thinking this is real?
I guess so. You're kind of made to, I don't know. You kind of think this is real. I guess you think it's real at this point.
Yeah.
But as the story progresses, you maybe start to think it is kind of all in her head. It's like some sort of coping mechanism that she's got for either like losing her dad.
Yeah.
Or having a great big hairy bastard as a stepdad.
Yeah.
Or just everything she's gone through with the war and everything. And she loves fairy tales, or maybe she is genuinely Princess Moana reincarnated, and she's drawn to all these things. And even though they're kind of, she's seeing them, maybe they aren't really happening. Just it's her way of getting back to the world underground.
Yeah, yeah. So she crawls in, sees the toad. There's these like bugs crawling all over. It's disgusting. The toad is a horrible, gross looking thing. Burps, I think, on her or something.
Burps in her face. It had a massive curry just before, and it went, bloody hell, I've had four naan bread, yeah. Jeremy. And she just burps in her face, and she's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then she's like, here, have a tum.
You know, here, have a tum, you'll be all right in a minute. Yeah.
There's these bugs crawling around, and she pretends the stones are like these bugs, and it whaps her with its tongue, sucks out the stones, and then it sort of
poos the key out.
What happened? So it kind of like melts. This skin sort of falls away over the top of this yellow sack of fluids. Luckily, the key is like right, sat on top. Like, because if it was like right in the middle, she'd have to like dig herself in there. But luckily, she's not. She gets the key, leaves. Whilst this is happening, there's some sort of civil war stuff happening as well, isn't there? I think they capture someone. Is that at this point?
Yeah, I think maybe they capture one of the rebels at this point.
Yeah.
And they string him up like a sexy bitch.
Yeah. So they put him in. They take this guy back to the barn. He's got a stutter. He's a very nice guy, we're led to believe. Yeah. Although, you know, you never know about people these days. And it probably catfishes people all the time on the internet. And so Vidal starts torturing this guy. And he has this horrible, like, he has like these tools and stuff. And he says, you're probably going to tell me the truth right away, but I'm not going to believe you. So I'm going to have to hurt you a little bit. And then I'm sort of believe you, but then I'm going to hurt you even more. And by the time you're practically dead, then, you know, I'll think about it. And
I'll be like, God, for God's sake.
Yeah.
This is a horrible torture method.
And he did this thing as well where he tells the stutterer, if you can say, I think he says counts to five or something without stuttering, I'll let you go. And the stutterer nearly does it. And it looks like he's going to actually let him go, but then he doesn't do it. And it's just, I don't know, it's just the guy obviously gets off on the misfortune or the pain and suffering of other people.
He gets off on stuttering.
Yeah.
One.
then he starts his work on the man. At the same time, no, this isn't yet, don't worry. I'll get to that in a second. So he gets to work on the man, and he leaves the guy in an absolute state, like his hand. I'd say this is almost like a kid's film, or it could have been a kid's film done by certain directors, but through the eyes of Del Toro, it's absolutely violent and brutal. The guy's hand is like split down the middle. It's like it's coming apart from itself and stuff. It's really gross. And then the doctor comes in, who we secretly know is actually working for the rebels, and he gives the guy a cyanide pill, or you know, whatever the equivalent is, injects him with the poison so he dies.
Yeah, he basically just takes pity on him and does it. But Vidal kind of sees through it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the, as the doctor's walking off, pops him.
He pops him in the back.
Pops him in the back.
Brap, 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 brap. Bitch, you dead. He kills. Pops the guy in the back, and then he dies. Yeah. And then not long after that, we get the Fawn giving Ophelia the second task. So he gives Ophelia a mandrake root and says, mm-hmm. look, this is going to help your mum out. Put it in a bowl of milk under the bed. Give it 3 drops of blood a night.
Yeah.
Because it loves blood. And then she does that. And then she goes to do the second task.
To do that, though, she like opens up her thumb with her teeth. I don't think that's even possible. Could you do that?
If you really needed to, probably.
Oh, I don't know if I could. All right, yeah.
I can't do it.
So then...
Your mum's going to die if you don't do it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I'd get like a little knife. I could do like a razor blade or something, but not my teeth. My teeth are too... Like they'd smush it before they pierced it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like my teeth just aren't sharp.
Have you got like one sharp tooth? I've got quite a sharp tooth.
I haven't got any. That's my problem.
You haven't got any teeth. That's the problem.
Too many people Pan's Labyrinth for me all the time. So the second task is probably the most visually sort of famous from the film. This is when Jeremy Clarkson, you know, gets into his role. So he says you've got to go into this place where there's a dude who has got like a feast. Don't eat any of the food. My fairies, I'll take some of the fairies with you. They'll guide you, but don't eat any of the food. But just go in there and get like, get a key or something? No,
get the dagger.
Yeah, don't eat any food. And then...
it's basically the pale man, a child eating monster. Don't eat any of the food. And just got to go get the dagger. And don't eat any of the food.
Yeah.
And just go in there quickly and don't eat any of the food and then come back.
Maybe eat before you go.
Exactly. Eat before you go. Have a lovely bowl of fruit before you go, just in case you see any really delicious, juicy fruit.
Yeah.
Chew it.
Imagine if she went in and just chew it and stuff there. I wouldn't be able to resist. Okay, so to get in there, he hands her this piece of chalk and she draws a door in the wall or floor.
She's basically just Penny Crayon.
Penny
Crayon.
Is that like a kids TV?
Your favorite TV show? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Voiced by Sue Pollard. Me and Andy Condue at Turner were discussing this only a couple of days ago. Penny Crayon. Penny Basically, she could draw anything she wants and it would come to life.
Oh, okay. This bit reminds me of Beetlejuice. They draw the door in that.
It
opens up.
Much better reference.
Yeah. So she opens it, she goes inside. This is it's like a really creepy hallway. There's like drawings, like really beautiful drawings on the paintings on the wall of this pale man who's like stabbing children, ripping children apart, gobbling them up.
This is like something out of
Hellraiser,
either Silent Hill or Hellraiser Resident Evil 4, where you got to go into like this area and get a thing before a thing wakes up.
Yeah. So she walks through this corridor and she sees this beautiful buffet of like mini pizzas and sausage rolls, tuna sandwiches, cheese and ham sandwiches,
mini chicken Kiev,
jelly and ice cream,
quiche, ice cream, Jaffa cakes, all this stuff. Basically, a top quality children's
Pringles. Pies. You don't know what flavor they are, mate. They're a mix.
How dare it? Do you just want to watch the world burn? Put a mix of Pringles down. I can't handle that. You don't know what you're putting in your mouth.
But then she's like, looks fair at the table, and there's this guy sat there who, he hasn't got any eyes. It's just there. Like, he's got really long fingers, and his hands are pressed on the table. He's got a plate with two, what look like eyeballs on there, but they look a bit like gobstoppers as well. So they're probably his gobstoppers. And then she walks past him. I think she gets a dagger or something, or she picks the right one. I can't remember how it works.
One of the fairies helps, right? She does the dagger puzzle from Resident Evil 4, where she got to like turn the clocks all the same way, and then she gets the dagger out.
And as she's leaving, what's that smell? Something's come out of the oven. Hot pizza.
I just can't resist. Hot pizza. And the fairies are literally like in her face going, No. And she's just like batting them away like they're troublesome little idiots.
It's like me when like some Domino's has just arrived and a piece is too hot. It's going to burn my mouth, but I just can't can't stop myself.
Molten cheese down the front of your face.
Don't do it. Don't eat it.
don't eat it. Cat's the fairy go, no,
I don't care anymore.
And you're just batting her away.
Yeah, she has a Pringle, and the problem is once you pop, you just can't stop.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, so she's gobbing these Pringles down.
Have you ever seen the Pringles, which are like some really cheap version? A picture of them went around on the internet recently. No. Have you seen it? So it's Prongles. Prongles. Once you pop, well, that's great. Honestly, I'll find it to show you.
Oh,
once you pop, well, that's great.
Okay. So what she's actually eating in this, and it's like actually fruit and stuff. It's like glazed cherries. I've never really been a fan of like glazed cherries.
Is it glazed cherries? Is it like, I thought it was big, fat, juicy grapes. Oh, really big, fat pair of juicy, ripe, purple plums.
They look like they've been dipped in some sort of sugar water or something. Icing sugar, yeah.
Just to keep them, just so they don't rot away.
Candied, yeah. So she's gobbing these things down, and the fairies are like, oh, shit, you've done it now. And the man's, Jeremy Clarkson, is like, oh, hello, welcome to Top Gear. And he picks up his gobstoppers in his hands, and then he's sort of, like we've all seen it, I'm sure you've seen the pictures, he puts his hands there over his face, and his eyes are in the thing. Yeah. And
I mean, that's just evolution. Don't treat him very well there, is it?
No.
That's just really inconvenient. Because also, if you keep the eyes out of your hands,
yeah,
like, what if you lose the eyes? You're absolutely screwed.
Oh, fucking hell. Where have I put them?
all of his family playing pranks on him constantly.
Then again, he suppose he could see himself.
Not if they hit the eyes, like, I don't know, in a airing cupboard.
So what she should have done then is she should have got the eyes, took the dagger out, put the eyes where the dagger was.
Yeah.
He would have woken up, maybe, but he'd be, like, lost. And she could just duck underneath him.
Is not eating the bloody grapes.
Yeah, but I mean, because she obviously was very hungry. Like, if she wanted to, she could have just took the eyes away. I would have eaten the eyes first.
Look, well, it's a bush tucker trial.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Okay, and then so she gets it. Oh, and then the thing wakes up. It grabs one of the fairies. I think he might get two of them. I'm not too
gets
sure.
Gets two of them. Bites their bloody heads off.
Oh, in his little maw. And she starts running away because this is creepy as fuck now. She's running away. He's running after her. Stumbling.
He's running after her, but also like kind of like breakdancing while he does it.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Coming for you.
Yeah. I'm imagining like the Spirit of Jazz or the Hitch.
Yeah, Spirit of Jazz. Yeah. That's not a door back there. That's a toilet.
And the door closes, like it disappears because she's been too long. She's been, you know, having a Pringle party, and she has to draw a new one on the ceiling.
On the bloody ceiling.
And then she gets out just in time, and the guy's like,
the guy's like, wait.
And then she closes the door. I would like to. So she climbs out and she closes the thing. I wish it cut back to the guy inside, just like, oh shit.
Oh, bloody heck! Just wanted someone to watch the chase with me.
Yeah, and then she's back. She's got the knife and she's got the. So she's done two of the tasks now. At this point, I think Mercedes gets caught out. Or something, is that about right?
Yeah, so I think Mercedes is like, I don't know, she gets caught out for some reason. Can you remember why? I don't think she gets... Well, I don't know if it happens yet. So I think Vidal first catches Ophelia tending to the mandrake root.
Yeah.
And he goes, what on earth is this shit under the bed?
He goes, she's like, oh, no. He smells it.
Throws the mandrake root, which is kind of like alive, isn't it? He throws it on the fire and it's like writhing, screaming in agony. And then Carmen, like, immediately gets like painful contractions.
Yeah.
And dies, giving birth to a little baby boy. And so the mandrake root was doing some good after all.
Right. Yeah.
And then basically not long after that is when Vidal discovers that Mercedes is a spy. I can't remember how he discovers her. You think he walks into a room and she's like doing the pose.
Yeah.
Like that. And he goes, oh my god, you're a spy.
And she says, no, I'm not. And they go, oh, okay.
Exactly right. What a spy would say.
he grounds Ophelia in a room. I think I don't know, he says something horrible to her, you little bitch, or something like that. And he puts her in a room. He keeps the baby with him in his watch room, and then
this is another thing that we haven't mentioned, is that the captain, look, he's got like a pocket watch that he kind of looks at all the time. He's always pulling it out and referring to it, and it's like smashed, isn't it?
It's always broken. It's broken, is it? And the time broken. It was his dad's watch, and when his dad died, he smashed the watch, so his son would always know the time he died. I wouldn't want to know that about my dad.
And he always takes out.
He died at 3:15. Lovely.
Lovely. That's when school ends.
Yeah. So he's sort of like trying to fix it as well. I'm not too sure what's going on with it. Or he fixes watches and stuff. So I'm not too sure how Mercedes gets caught now, but he basically takes her into the torture room where he tortures the last one, and he gives her the same speech, but she hides like a little potato peeler underneath her in the rolls of a dress. And as he's giving her the speech, she suddenly sort of gets out, stabs him in the back, whips it out, and then puts it in his mouth, and then
gives him the Joker smile.
Gives him a half Joker.
I don't know how I got these scars.
A woman called Mercedes.
A woman called Mercedes.
And a potato peeler.
She had a potato peeler. I'm not doing a Joker. I'm doing some sort of... She had a potato peeler. And she put it in my mouth. And now she can't bear to look at me. That's awful.
It is horrible because she does that, and then she leaves the place, and she starts walking towards the mountains where... all the rebels are hanging out, all the good guys are hanging out. And then the Vidal runs out after him and goes, "Get after it." And as he talks, like, his mouth is like completely open on the side.
Flapping, but then
she runs away. She gets saved by her brother and the rebels, and that's all good. Now they've got a big army of them or something. They're going to attack the house later on that night. So it's all starting to, you know, come up to towards the end of the film, ramping up. At the same time, I think he goes back inside to look after his son. He starts sewing his...
Gives himself a sewy mouth, doesn't he?
Yeah. So here's why I think Ophelia's thing is real. It is actually happening. She's trapped in that bedroom before the attack starts. She can't do the third task, which is get the baby and take the baby brother to the labyrinth. She can't do it. She's locked in there. And then the fawn says, "You have what you need." And then she uses the chalk to make a door that wasn't there before to get out. And that's the only thing in this film that if she didn't have that, she would have not. Yeah, exactly. So
maybe she could have squeezed into really small spaces like Victor Toombs and just squeeze under a door or something.
Yeah. And so she either uses the door or she Victor Toombs way out. Either way, it's either X-Files or fantasy. So she gets out. She steals the son, steals her brother even, takes him into the labyrinth. She's chased by Vidal down the labyrinth.
It's all kicking off the house now. The rebels are sort of coming in.
Yeah.
It's all reaching ahead now. The drama's is getting very dramatic.
So then she goes to the bottom of the labyrinth well thing, and the fawn is like, "The third task is you have to kill your baby brother, and then you'll be allowed into the underworld. You know, it's nice in here. It's not nice here." Captain Vidal rocks up. I think he sees her talking to nothing, which is meant to make us think, "Oh, he's not actually
there." Hello.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, but she's saying to him, like, "I'm not going to kill the baby, mate. You can fuck that off for a laugh."
Fuck that off. Yeah. And then he does fuck that off. He goes, disappears. As Vidal pops a cap in her ass.
He takes the baby from her and shoots her. Shoots a little innocent child.
Brutal.
Which goes to show that he really is an airy bastard.
Yeah. She falls on the bottom. And then as the Captain Vidal is taking the baby, he gets a gun pointed at him. The rebels have taken over. Everyone's dead or captured. And the captain's like, "Just tell my baby the time I died," or something. And then the guy goes, "No, he won't know anything about you. We're shipping him off to boarding school. He's going to grow up to be Top Gear presenter."
Yeah, we're going to say his dad was Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
All right.
He's going to grow up to be Chris Evans. No one's going to like him. He's a little shit. And then they shoot Thingy in the cheek. And his eye goes.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, like a slot machine. Ding ding ding. Comes up with dollar signs. And his tongue rolls out, and then chains falls out of his mouth. Pretty weird at this point.
Yeah.
And then he uses his arm to go again.
It is weird. This is weird.
And so then the Mercedes catches up with Ophelia, who's on the floor. She's bleeding. Blood falls out of her. Pools around the base of the labyrinth. And then she wakes up in the underworld, and she's greeted by the Fawn, who's like, "This, you passed the test by not killing your brother. You passed the test, the ball test.
You passed the test." Now, and then her dad and like her mum. So actually, her mum Carmen from the thing are like the king and queen of the underworld, and they're sat on these thrones. I'm like, how'd they get up there? They're like the tallest throne. They're like a 30-foot tall throne, like sat on a little, like David Blaine when he stood on the top of that column. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
On that pole.
I think they raised it up like that. Oh, really slowly, though.
That's horrible, though.
And they twist as well.
I would not like that.
No, no.
Would you like that?
Just give me a normal-sized chair, mate.
Yeah. Jesus. How to get up.
You're IKEA, and you're like, do you want the standard Ibi Boshi, which is the standard dining chair, or the golden
throne, which is 30 foot in the air. It might not have enough room for it in your living room.
We don't home deliver.
We don't home deliver. Yeah, you have to take it on a bus.
Yeah. And then that's how it ends, right? Oh no, it ends with the Rock singing "You're Welcome" to Princess Bride.
Oh yes, you're welcome.
And then it does cut. You're welcome for those giant golden chairs.
It cuts back to Ophelia, who's like dying, and she smiles. And then the epilogue kind of completes the story, saying that she ruled wisely and left quiet traces of her time in the human realm. Visible only to those who know where to look and are French, even though this film is in Spanish.
Okay, so I think it's real because of that chalk bit. So it's the only bit I think, that's pointing me towards it being real. And also, I want it to be real.
You don't believe in chalk, do you? You're like, chalk's a bloody myth, mate. Chalk's a fairy tale and a fantasy.
Well,
what even is it?
I don't know. I'd like to think it's real, because I hate those things where it's like, it was all in their head all along. They were dead the whole time. He was really a man. He was a Terminator.
He was a Terminator all along. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's nice to believe, but then it's a nice thing, because you can make your own decision.
Also, if it's not real, then she's dead. Like,
she's dead and off her nut.
She got shot by Vidal.
Yeah.
She got a Tombstone Power Driver. I wish he had Tombstone Power Driver there instead.
Oh my God. Oh Power my God, the dead man.
And then the Mercedes comes in with a steel chair. That's how she gets it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, so trivia.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, which root was said to have been born of the dripping fat and blood and semen of a hanged man? Just to repeat, which root was said to have been born of the dripping fat and blood and semen of a hanged man?
The mandrake root?
Yes, the only root in the film. Yeah, apparently they used to hang people and on the gallows on the floor where they'd be hung, they'd bleed and the spunk and stuff would hit the grass.
What the fuck?
And then the mandrake root, who dreamt of being human, would grow from this, yeah. That's the legend, anyway.
Who came up with that legend? That's horrible.
I think it's just a thing. Del Toro was on about it. In the scenes.
Spermy grass over there? There's a mandrake root growing out of the top of it.
So you got that one right. Obviously, you're
well versed
in semen.
Yep.
Number two, which famous author went to a screening and physically squirmed at a screening when the Pale Man chased Ophelia?
I thought these used to be true and false, didn't they? I feel like you're just moving the goalposts.
Depends on what
me.
I find on the
which
internet.
Author was it? Stephen King.
It was, yeah. He was sat next to Del Toro and he physically squirmed. And Del Toro said, he compared the experience of seeing King's reaction to that to winning an Oscar. That was like as Although he's won an Oscar now, so he's like, ah, fuck that.
Stephen King's just underwear was riding up his ass. That's why he's squirming. He's like, Jesus Christ. Shouldn't have bought these bloody tidy whities.
Okay, true or false? Ophelia's surname is Storm Coming On.
Storm Coming On? What? What, like? False.
Ophelia's Storm Coming On.
For fuck's sake.
Well, the other option I was going to go on that, I was going to go, is her surname Nuts? And I was like, she's like 12, man. So I can't go for those, like, more.
That was so bad that I didn't even understand it first.
Ophelia's Storm Coming On. That's the only one, like, that I could go on with that didn't sound, like, gross. Okay. And number four.
So glad I said false.
How did Del Toro request the Pale Man's look to the animators? So in his creative brief, he was very specific about how he wanted the Pale Man to look. What did he say to them?
Like an English bloke who lives in Scunthorpe, who doesn't take his shirt off until apart from once a year.
Yeah.
And he hadn't exercised in 25 years. Slash crossed with Jeremy Clarkson, crossed with... That's it.
So he said, like a fat man who suddenly lost a lot of weight. So like Jeremy Clarkson, so you got that one right.
Yeah.
Number five, for the fairy eating scene, Doug Jones had to buy condoms filled with fake blood.
I reckon you like that. True.
It is true in the sense of on the internet it said it is rumoured that Doug Jones had to buy condoms.
Here's a weird thing. Ever met someone who says condoms?
I think I say it sometimes accidentally.
Condoms.
It's very similar to my name.
I've heard people say that before and I go, do they know what it is? Because it ain't condom. It's condom. And they go, oh, what is it? What? How old are you? You've been on this planet, on planet Earth for 40 years and you don't know what a word is. Never seen it written down ever.
It's a weird word. Shouldn't it be called cumdom?
I don't think it's like physically cumdom. Who got cumdom?
No, you put your cumdoms. Pack.
You put your cumdom on. I put the condom on.
Okay, so I think you got all those right, apart from Ophelia's surname.
Sorry, I'm not finished with the condom talk. Do you remember the putting a condom on your head and blowing it up with your nose?
No, I never did that. Like I said, you're more well versed in the.
Yeah, and then it would explode, and it always like really hurt, and then you'd have just like a ring of like plastic.
Wait, was it
face.
A used condom or is this a?
Preferably.
You need to lubricate it on somehow.
Oh.
Okay, come on,
oh,
dude.
God.
Ophelia Storm Coming On is unhappy about these questions. I was trying to keep like the pervy stuff out of this quiz.
Oh, sorry, mate. Okay, this is my fault.
The first question was about semen of a hanged man. But okay, you need to grade the film.
Yeah.
Between A and F.
Oh. I'm feeling generous, and I enjoyed it, and I think it's got a lot going for it. It's got a great soundtrack, looks beautiful.
How does the soundtrack go? Nobody knows.
I don't know. And I love the Del Toro vibe. I think this is like the epitome of a Guillermo del Toro film.
Yeah,
it's like the jewel in his crown is bejeweled greatly.
Yeah,
but this is the biggest jewel.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not bothered a crown because he's seen Stephen King shit in his pants.
Yeah, exactly. Don't need that. He's just got a little gif saved on his phone of Stephen King going, oh, bloody heck, my underwear's riding up my ass.
Yeah,
so I'm going to give it an A.
Okay, yeah, good. I'm going to give it an A as well. I think it's in terms of when you think of a Del Toro film, this is the best example of a Del Toro film. Because I've not seen Shape of Water. But I just can't see it coming close to this.
I mean, Shape of Water is great, but I mean, it is a completely different vibe.
Pacific Rim.
No, it's the same vibe, but it's a completely different film. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Pacific Rim is a good one.
Specific Rim. That's the dirty version of it.
Okay. Next week, are we going to go straight into the next one?
Yeah.
Nosferatu.
Yeah. It's Nosferatu, mate.
Nosferatu. Okay, so next week we're going to talk about Nosferatu. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoy the show, give us some positive thoughts right now. Oh, I got one. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you, Luke.
Cheers.
Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.